He is so good. He is so good. We're going to continue our theme of yes. Now, most of you know that's our theme for all of 2021. Laura, good to see you. Is Scarlett with you? Scarlett, hi. I'm so happy to see you. I've missed you. I'm happy you're here. Missed you too, Laura. Sorry, I don't mean to. You know. So we're continuing our series on yes for the whole year, but every month we will have a new aspect of yes. So today we're going to finish up yes, introducing the whole annual theme. And so as every week as I've been preparing, I just ask God a simple question. God, what are you saying yes to today? What are you saying yes to? Like, I just want to hear his voice, you know? And thanks for allowing me to get away last week. It was really good to visit my family. Thanks, Ron, for filling in with a message called Yes, I Hear You. So good. I listened online afterwards. Excellent. Put almost 1,300 miles on my car, and most of that was singing. By the time I got to my mom's, my voice was sore and hoarse, and they're like, are you okay? Because, you know, in this COVID environment, we can't just have a sore throat. Like, it's just the way it is, you know. And I'm like, I'm fine. I've been singing for 10 hours. You would have a sore throat too if you had been singing for 10 hours. But that's just the way I roll, literally the way I roll. And I had a good time with my mom and my siblings. Mostly we just got lots of time together. You know, a whole lot of love, a little bit of sadness at the honoring the legacy of my dad's passing. His second anniversary of his death was last Sunday. And so there was a little bit of sadness, but it was mostly just a whole bunch of love. And I'm thankful for that. But this week, as I was driving, I'm like, God, what are you saying yes to? And I think I spent the 10 hours coming home preparing this message today. And it wasn't in front of a computer as I normally do. It was just in my heart and in my mind and in my worship. And so I said, God, what are you saying yes to today? And I felt like he gave me a good answer. He said, I'm saying yes to light. I'm saying yes to light. And so I loved that. I loved that. I want to do a quick reminder before I get into the message that this week is Next Gen Sunday. So if you participate in blessing our children and youth, we ask for 1 hour wage once a month to go into a fund just for our children and youth. So if you want to do that, don't forget. I put mine in before service so I wouldn't forget, because last time I reminded you and then didn't do it myself because I forgot. It's the way it goes, you know. You reminded. Thank you. Yeah, Stephanie. Oh, I'm so thankful for Stephanie and Linda. Seriously. There have been some weeks and I've been struggling. They know. I've been struggling. I'm like, this is hard. And I always find encouragement in them. It's always different. Stephanie has different encouragement than Linda, but it's beautiful the way they work together. And so I'm thankful for them. They're a major, major blessing to me. So if you ever imagined God who spoke light into the darkness, Have you ever just stopped and thought about that for a moment? The first point today is God must believe in yes to light because he spoke light into the world. God spoke light into the world. Today I'm reading from the Message translation for part of the message. Genesis 1:1-5 tells us this. First this, God created the heavens and earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. Don't you love that language? Oh, you can see it even though you can't see it. Like, you can totally see it. God spoke light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated the light from the dark. God named the light day, and he named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one. So I have a question for you, not to be answered, just think about it. What is the darkest place you have ever been? What is the darkest place? I almost kind of played with it today and asked them to plan on turning off the lights when I said that, but I knew there would be a flaw with that plan because we have this light and we have this light and we have that light and we have the light from the ambient light from back there, so it wouldn't really work. But just think about the darkest place you've ever been. As soon as I was thinking of this, I'm actually on the road and I'm driving through Beckley, West Virginia, which is kind of a halfway point between where I live and where my mom lives, right? And I had this flashback of back when my oldest son was 4 years old. And my parents and I decided to meet halfway between us so that we could visit. And it was really fun. We had great times, you know, just hanging out together. But in Beckley is where we met. And in Beckley, they have a coal mining exhibition event that you can do. Has anybody ever done that before? Yeah, you know about darkness then. So they put us into this cart that had seats in it, but it almost looked like a cart they carry coal in. They put us in a cart. They gave us a flashlight, but they told us to keep the flashlight turned off, right? And then they took us down, 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 down. And I'm like, can we go any lower? It was intense to think about how deep we were. To me, it was a little intense. Now, Rem was 4 years old. He was sitting beside me with a death grip on my hand, right? And then the guy doing the tour said, okay, now keep your flashlights off. We're going to turn off all the lights in this place. And I want to show you what it was like for men who dig coal out of these places. And so they turned, every light was turned off, not even an exit sign. Like, every light was turned off. That is most definitely the darkest place I've ever been. Because I know you've probably described darkness as being so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. It was so dark that it was almost suffocating how dark it was. Like, I had a hard time breathing because it was so dark, right? There was no light whatsoever. And he only did it that way for about a minute and a half, or 2 minutes, but it felt like an hour. I'm like, I'm turning my flashlight on. I don't care what they say, you know? And the only comfort I had in that place was the sound of his voice and the feel of my son's hand. That was the only comfort, to not feel like you were just falling in darkness. Like, it was so intense. I can't even describe how suffocating it was. God spoke light into that kind of darkness. A soup of nothingness, inky blackness, bottomless pit. That's exactly how it felt. It felt like a bottomless pit. And God has such a big yes for light. He just said, light. Now, I don't know if you imagine it to be like, light, or if you imagine it to be like, light. I don't know. I think some days I imagine it one way, and other days I imagine it a different way, you know? Or maybe he just went, ha ha, light. I don't know. But any way you want to imagine it, he said light, and light appeared. So God says yes to light. But it's interesting. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about this. On day one, that happened. On day two, he created the firmament. Most people consider that like the atmosphere, the waters of the heaven and the waters of the earth. He created that. On day three, he created dry land. And I happen to be old school. I actually believe that's a 24-hour period. I don't need to argue about it. And if you want to believe differently, I have a lot of grace because I don't know everything. I have a lot of grace for you because I may be wrong. But I just happen to believe it's a 24-hour period. Day four, okay. Day one, light. Day night, light, right? Day two, firmament. Day three, dry land. Day four, light bearers. wait, what? What? He created light and he called the day night, or called the day light and called the night dark. What? 3 days later, he created light bearers. We read that in Genesis 1, 14 through 19. God spoke. Lights, come out. Well, what happened on day one? What? I'm sorry, I just get stuck on these things sometimes. I'm like, well, I don't understand this. Lights, come out. Shine in heaven's sky. Separate day from night. Mark seasons and days and years. Lights in heaven's sky to give light to earth. And there it was. God made two big lights. The larger to take charge of the day. The smaller to be in charge of night. And he made the stars. God placed them in the heavenly sky to light up earth and oversee day and night, to separate light and dark. God saw that it was good. It was evening, it was morning, day four. So I love that God spoke light into the world, but then he didn't stop there. And he said, I want to speak light bearers into the world. I just love that so much. He didn't have to do it that way. He did it as a gift. I'm going to give them light, and then I'm going to give them light bearers, right? He spoke light, and then he spoke light bearers. And I think that's significant. Because he wanted to show us his way of saying yes. Sometimes he just speaks a yes, and sometimes he creates something that will reverberate his yes. Does that make sense? So I can't talk about light bearers without giving you a light bearer, at least the kids. So today I brought some light bearers for the kids. And after I get all these emptied, you can come up and choose which color you want. I have red, pink, green, gold, black, and blue. Kind of a cool blue color. It's like a turquoisey. But I want to get them all emptied so that we can socially distant, physically distant, I should say. That's what we like better. You can choose the color that you want if you agree not to shine it in anyone's face. Because light bearers don't help if you blind someone. There's some symbolism there, people, adults. If you want to catch that. Blinding anyone doesn't help anything. I have the light. I'm going to tell people about the light. They need to know what the light is. Just shine your light where you're walking. Or, if you really want to get creative, instead of shining your light where you're walking, you can do what they do with big buildings. You can turn on the light and shine it up like this. And if it's dark, you will see a column of light and people will be drawn to it, right? So you can make some columns of light. I'll keep this one since I touched it. You can make some columns of light. Okay, kids, go get your light bearer. There's some over here too. There's here, here, behind me, there, and there. Choose one and touch it and go back. If you're an adult and you're in a really dark place right now, after church, come up and get a flashlight. And let the flashlight be a reminder, if you have to, wear it on your wrist for a while. Just wear it on your wrist as a reminder that God says yes to light. Okay? Because not only did he speak light into the world, he spoke light bearers into the world, but then he didn't stop there. Because point number three, God sent light into the world. We sang about him today. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. John 1, 3 through 9 in the Message still says everything was created through him. talking about Jesus. Not one thing, nothing came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light. Oh, I love that phrase so much. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. We need to get a tattoo of that or something. The darkness cannot put out the light. Pause there. The darkness cannot put out the light. Some of us, we're so overwhelmed by darkness right now. And it's an inky blackness that you can't see your hand in front of your face. And I believe God wants to remind us today that he says yes to light, and there is no darkness that's so deep that it can overcome light. Light always wins against darkness. Every time, no matter how small the light is, if you've ever been in a very dark place and you have a match, a small little match will illuminate so much compared to the darkness. Light always puts out darkness, always. So why do we get fixated on darkness? There's no hope in getting fixated on darkness. Just come into agreement with God's yes to light and trust that the darkness is not going to win ever. There was once a man, his name John, sent by God to point the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing long before Coke, Ron. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. Don't you love that God's yes to light is so big that he spoke light into the world, he spoke light bearers into the world, and then he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. But then when we follow him, he brings us into the light. Huh. So that brings me to my last point. God says yes to you being a light bearer. God says yes to you being a light bearer. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus is talking and he says this. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. Bringing out the God colors of the world. I love that terminology. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Now, the funny thing about light is this. How do you think my bathroom would look if I tried to clean it with the lights off? Not very good. My bathroom is on the internal part of the building, has no window at all. So if I turned off my lights and tried to clean, I would miss a whole lot. And some of us, we're so afraid of the light because of what it will reveal. And God says, chill, I got you. Yeah, that's how he talks to me. Chill, I got you, girl. Don't worry about the mess that light reveals. I'll take care of that. Just shine. Just shine. Then he says, here's how you shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. If we're going to add our yes to God's yes to light, we just need to shine. It's pretty simple. Now, the thing about these flashlights, they're battery powered. There's three batteries in here, I believe. If I remember right. Did anybody take it apart yet? I don't know. It's down in there somewhere. One, two, three. Yeah, three batteries. And once these batteries go, the light's not going to shine. So what do you do with that? You get new batteries or you recharge the batteries. Right. I can't shine by myself. I need to be aware of Jesus in me all the time if I'm going to shine. I need to be aware of how he sees things to shine. I can't do it without him. Because I look out and I see a whole bunch of darkness. And I get overwhelmed by the darkness. And Jesus just says, shine. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring fruit. That's what it comes down to. So the way to recharge your batteries is by abiding in Jesus. Not by running around like a chicken with your head cut off, worried about how the world's going to go. That's not how it happens. I'm glad that made you laugh. That's good. It makes me happy. You recharge by abiding in Jesus and letting him abide in you. It's really that simple. How do we shine? By abiding. But Jesus gave us a little bit more in Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23, this time from the Passion Translation. My conclusion is pray for clear eyes and an unclouded heart. He says this, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter you into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. I mean, imagine what that looks like, a cloudy heart. I drove through a lot of clouds when I was driving, right? No sunshine because their clouds were covering it up. They were hiding the light. He says, if your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will the darkness be within you if the light of truth cannot enter? Now, the first time I read this in the Passion Translation, I'm like, well, some other translations don't mention the word money. So why did he include money in that passage? And then I looked at the passage before it and the passage after it. This passage is sandwiched between two passages that are talking about money. The first one is, if where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You've read that. Most of you have read that. The second one that comes after it is talking about not being able to serve two gods, mammon, which is money, and God, right? So I believe what I understand from this passage is that my heart gets clouded by worrying about money and the cares of this life. And it's easy to do that. Listen, I'm not pointing any fingers. I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are going through, but I don't know all of what you're going through. But to be fair, you don't know what I'm going through either, most of you. You might know some, but not all, right? The way to keep our heart unclouded is not allowing the worries of this life, which can include money, but can include so many other things, not to cover up our heart. Because that keeps the revelation light from coming in. So what do? We pray for clear eyes and an unclouded heart. That's what we do. God spoke light into the world. Then he spoke light bearers into the world. Then he sent light into the world. Then he said, okay, you are a light bearer. So the way we say yes to him is by praying for clear eyes and an unclouded heart. So I just want to stop and have you repeat aloud after me. God, I want to add my yes to your yes. I want to shine for you. So I ask you for clear eyes and an unclouded heart. I want to see your light, and I don't want to be covered up by the worries of this life. Give me courage to be a light bearer for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Shine, people, shine, 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 shine. Kids, turn your lights on. Maybe, Kim, turn off the back. Yeah, turn off the overhead lights at least. There we go. That looks good. That looks good. Shine, shine, shine. Roger, you knew where I was going, didn't you? Thank you. Thank you. So, shine this week. Stop cursing the darkness and shine. Just stop cursing the darkness and shine. That's all. And if you see something dirty when you shine, say, Jesus, I see something that needs to be cleaned. I can't clean it. Can you clean it? Okay, he can. Yes, he can. All right. So next week we have a new month, which means a new series. We're going to start a series called Promises. Promises. I don't know about the title yet. Still working on that one. I think I have a good way to go, but I don't have a title. But why do you think I chose the gas gauge showing full to talk about promises? Because the Bible is full of promises. We only have 4 weeks to look at them, but we're going to take 4 weeks and look at the promises of God. If you have been highlighting promises in your Bible, can I ask you to take one of those promises and share with someone else? Either through a text or a phone call or a card or on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever other social media you have, Snapchat, whatever. Find one of those promises and share. We shine by sharing, okay? Have a great week. I love you guys. Thanks for coming.